The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, the anatomy of a victory.
Before we even get started with this anatomy, we got to make absolutely sure that the one that we're fighting is not God, because you cannot fight a battle with God and win. I'm just going to tell you that up front. It's really rigged. It really is. And we're not going to win. We're not going to win.
Stay tuned as Beth Moore challenges us to have faith in God's word to overcome the strongholds in our life.
I welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robison. This is Wednesdays with Beth, and I know you're excited about that. I'm glad that you love Beth. I do hope, and you know, right now we're talking about drilling water wells all over the world. I hope you understand that sharing Beth with you is like sharing fresh water, spiritual water. And to all of you who love Beth and appreciate her, please understand that we do need your help, but not only to keep presenting Beth, but also to share water and life all over the world. Help us drill water wells. Beth's been to the ends of the earth with us, and in behalf of Life Outreach, to help us do just that, and we encourage you to do it. We are giving Beth's book, Praying God's Word, because we believe that it'll be a source of continual inspiration. Also, at this time, if you just help us with Mission Water for Life, literally giving a cup of water, Living in Love, the book that Betty and I have written on marriage, and we've had a 50-year journey, and it gets better every day. We want to be an encouragement to you and your journey. Here is Beth teaching Praying God's Word. This is a part of that great series that led to the book Praying God's Word. Here's Beth.
I want to say something to you before we get into this anatomy of a victory. I want to say this to you. Make sure that your battle is with the enemy and it's not with God. That's a very, very important principle, and I want to say this to you. God is always for us and never against us. We know that based on Romans 8 and verse 31. But I want to say this to you. 1 Peter 5:5 says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And why that's so important for you and I to understand is, although he is always for us, when we are in pride, when we're all puffed up in our own flesh, or we're arrogant in a situation, then he says, you know what I'm going to have to do? Because you're going to destroy yourself with that pride, and it's going to cause you to have a major fall. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start working against you to be for you. Do you understand what I'm saying that? In other words, the way I can best be for you in this situation, B-F-O-R, for you, is that I'm going to work in opposition to you in this situation so that you'll understand that it's not the way I'm leading you. So I want you to understand this with me. You cannot, and I cannot, discern for certain that the force we have coming in opposition to us, the force that seems to be coming over us that we feel the need to fight, we can't be sure it's Satan instead of God until we humble ourselves. It's only in humility, when we go face down, when we go knees to the floor, it's only in humility that we can really see, is this the enemy or is this God getting on my case because I'm all puffed up in pride? Does that make sense? So, but before we even get started with this anatomy, we got to make absolutely sure that the one that we're fighting is not God, because you cannot fight a battle with God and win. I'm just going to tell you that up front. It's really rigged. It really is. And we're not going to win. We're not going to win. But when he is operating in us, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So we're going to win every single time when it's him. So here's what happened. Because I couldn't find my old notes, it was like, well, what did it take? Beth, look back over the course of your life, because I'm going to tell you something. I am not the same woman I used to be. I'm telling you, I am a dramatically altered person because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. I can tell you, I mean, I had areas of strong bondage and addiction that had followed me and dogged my heels all of my life. So I'm telling you, something along the way, I have seen these principles work, but it was like God put it back on the table before me. What was it that worked? Go tell them what it was that actually worked. And so God gave me four words, and this will be our outline, but I want you to take down all four right now so that you know them from the top. I want you to be able to say them forward and backward. These four words: faith, focus, fire, finish. Start jotting those down. Faith, focus, fire, finish. Say those four words back to me. Faith, focus, fire, finish. Again.
Faith, focus, fire, finish.
Faster.
Faith, focus, fire, finish.
Again.
Faith, focus, fire, finish.
Now say them all four with your eyes closed. Faith, focus, fire, finish. Again. Faith, focus, fire, finish. Over and over again, I'm challenging you to say those four words to yourself and to see where you are in that process. It will help you be able to go back and sort of do a checklist over your life, and as I do it over my life, to see where is the battle and where am I in the process of seeing victory in this battle. And it's got to begin with number one. What was that first word? It's got to begin with faith, and you know that. You know that. I want to say something to you that are seasoned Bible students and seasoned in warfare. I pray that God would make this message to you like he made it to me. In other words, I know you've studied it hundreds of times before, but maybe this could come as a fresh word, because that's what happened to me when I had to go back after it and come up with a whole new outline for it. It became such a joy to me, and it became a steel to my soul again. And it was such a wonderful process to be able to remember that it's got to start with faith. You will never, ever be more victorious. Your victory will never exceed your faith. It's impossible, because faith is the victory, the first book of John tells us. Faith is the victory. And so it's got to begin with faith. I was singing a song this morning while I was getting ready for the taping today that says these words: who is like the Lord? Nobody. Nobody. Who is like the Lord? Nobody. And I thought to myself, listen, if anybody is like your Lord, you've got the wrong one. I promise you that. I'm talking to you today from experience. I've had enough defeat in my life for all of us. So please, learn this one off the page and not necessarily on the pavement. Let somebody tell you who's been there. There is no one like the Lord. And if your God has someone else like him somewhere, you got the wrong Lord, because no one's like the Lord. No one can compete. No world philosophy, no world religion. There is no one like Jehovah. There is no one like Jehovah. I can remember like yesterday that I came to a place of such defeat. This is when I grew up enough for my defeat to alter my entire future if I was going to let it. I mean, this is when it got so hot in that fire that I was going to self-destruct or something was going to have to change. And I remember thinking to myself, having been raised in church, and I don't regret any of that. I love where I grew up in Sunday school and church. I learned so many things about missions, and we had a huge evangelism emphasis. And I knew even in my childhood, once I received Jesus Christ, I knew I was saved and I had confidence in my salvation. So my upbringing brought me so many things. But it did not give me a huge God in times of warfare. I did not understand the supernatural power of the Spirit. I was raised in such a way that we were scared of the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of that is changing now, even throughout the denominations. In those days, certain denominations talked about the Holy Spirit, and the other denominations did not, in case they turned out like that denomination. You understand what I'm saying? And so I was in one of those. And we knew nothing about how Christ could be in you, empowering you to be different than you are. could cause you to know what you did not know, to become who you could not possibly be. I knew nothing of that. I just knew how to walk in righteousness. It's just that I could not possibly do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I understood that teaching, but I was terrible at it. And so this was the trap that I fell into. And I can remember vividly when I had been beaten half to death by the enemy, when I just let him beat me in the head, trying to wait until he got tired, and it didn't work. I can remember thinking, you know what? If my God is only who I think he is, I'm never going to make it. In fact, I want to go far. I'm not just being overdramatic with you. I felt like I'm not going to live. I won't live through this. If God is only who I have come to believe he is to this point, there ain't no future for me. And so I just started going to the Word for myself, going, you got to be bigger than who I believed you were, or there's no way out for me here. And oh, God was bigger. Oh, God was bigger. Oh, God was so much bigger. I want you to hear a word out of Psalm 18, 17 and 18. And you can write down that address and I'll read it to you if you'd like for me to, and you can turn to it if you want. But Psalm 18, I want to read verses 17 and 18. Well, I have to start at 16, and I always do that. I hate that I do that, but I have to. 16 says, speaking of God, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy. Listen to this part. From my foes who were too strong for me. From my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. Verse 19, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I want you to know he wants to rescue you because he delights in you. The part I most want you to hear is that he rescued me from my power. He, only he, rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. Listen, there's a foe out there that's too strong for you. The thing about it is you find out really quickly whether or not your stronghold is bigger than your God. Because as long as we're just like stuck in the stronghold, our God is not as big as our stronghold. You understand what I'm saying to you? And that's why we've got to have God blow the blinders off of our eyes and see him rise up as the true God that he really is. So we got to have faith in a God that is so much bigger than our strongholds, so much bigger than the world's gods, so much bigger than the world's philosophies, that nothing compares to him who is like the Lord, nobody. Not only faith that God is beyond anything we could imagine and that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, as the King James Version so beautifully says, we got to have faith in God's Word. We got to have faith in God's Word. I ask you as we read 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 together, do you believe that? Do you believe it? Because, I mean, all of it just stays on the page. I hope to illustrate this to you in a practice in just a little while. All of it stays on the page and does not do your life one iota of good until you believe it. Until you believe it. So here's this whole book full of powerful words, life-giving words. His words are life and spirit to us, Jesus told us. And yet they just stay on that page and away from the reality of my own soul until I believe them. That's the only way it gets in and empowers me from the inside out. Do we believe God's word? Do we really believe we have divine power to demolish any and every stronghold, that nothing that gets its grip on us, no amount of addiction, no amount of defeat, no amount of bitterness, no amount of unforgiveness, that nothing is so big that it cannot be demolished by the divine power of weaponry put in our hands in Christ Jesus. And not only the faith in God and faith in his word, but I got to ask you this. Do you believe he can do it through you? Because I just want, I know I've said this a number of times on Wednesdays, but I just think it's such an important principle. And I can remember vividly being able to first get this through my head. Do you realize when all those Israelites, the children of God, who'd had the promise of victory if they would believe God and walk with him, that the children of God fell with their carcasses in the wilderness and never made it to the promised land? Not because they did not believe God could do anything. They knew he could do anything. They'd been eating manna on the ground every single morning, quail in the evening. They'd had water gush from rocks. They'd seen a fiery pillar every day. They saw manifestations of the presence of God. They saw Shekinah glory every day. They knew God was powerful. They knew there was no one like him. They knew there was nothing he could not do. What they did not believe was that he could do it through them. Their carcasses fell in that wilderness, and most of them did not make it out of the desert because when they got word back how powerful that enemy was in the land of Canaan, they felt like they could not possibly stand up to it, and their faithlessness left them right there. I mean, just like their dead bodies strewn all over the wilderness. So not only do you have faith in who God says he is, faith in his word, but do you believe that he could empower you through his spirit to face any foe and see it to its demise? You got to believe he can do it through you, not the person sitting next to you, not your spouse, not your pastor, not your teacher. I'm talking about you, you. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6, if you know about the armor of God, it says, for our struggles are not against flesh and blood. Do you know that that word struggles in the Greek language does not mean army to army? It means person to person. It is face-to-face conflict. It's when you're going at it with your hands against an enemy right in front of you. And I want you to understand this. Many people can help you in your battle, but nobody can fight it for you. If you're going to be free from your strongholds, it's going to be because you allowed God to empower you, not just the people around you. They can help. I'll show that to you later in the scriptures. They can help in the process, but they cannot do it for you. It's got to be you, and I'm going to tell you why, because that seems like it's not fair, and I'm weak, and my foes are too powerful for me. But see, God is always about relationship. He's not looking just to make you a victor. He's looking for you to see that he is God and that you want so much for him to immerse your life in his spirit. That's what he's looking for. So he wants it to be that you have to depend on him one-on-one so that you begin to develop the intimacy that it takes to have a life of adventure beyond anything this world could ever give us.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Yeah, that's exactly what he wants. I wish we could all understand how important it must be to God that we lean on him. Lean on him. Our little dachshund, little princess, crawls up in my lap every morning. Puts her little face right here on my chest. Sometimes she'll snuggle up and put her head over here, and I say, boy, this is awesome. Awesome. Just close. I feel like just a dog, for crying out loud, a pet. She likes to be close to me. Hey, I like her to be close to me. God really likes that. Close to his heart. I want to be so close to him, I feel his heartbeat. I know what's in his heart. Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word. We're sending it to those of you who'd like to have it, who will simply help us literally change everything for the women and the children you're about to see, because I'm going to take you for just a moment around the world. And I want you to see the ends to which moms will go to try to get water and to hear the heart cry. Just give us some clean water. So simple. We just take it for granted. But these precious people, the only way they're going to get it is for us to do what Jesus said, a cup of water in his name. Watch.
Women walk up to 4 miles or more a day in search of water to sustain life. The tragedy is what they bring back to their families from these contaminated sources contains disease and death. Fatima has been collecting water from here since she was a young girl, and now she is raising another generation who is destined to do the same. When a mother has no choice but to collect water from an unsafe source, the consequences can be devastating for her children, leaving many mothers emotionally distraught.
I'm standing by the answer. I'm standing by the solution. A well, I can operate very easily with one hand. Any child can do it. You've got clean water coming here, and this is life. And so entire families and village communities come here to get their water. This is what love does. Love gives life. Dando.
Boy, it blesses me to be able to see how simple it is. Not only simple for a child or a mother to pump those wells, all of them mechanical. We've actually got some that are a little bit like a children's merry-go-round that we put around close to school. They push the wheel, and they get excited about it, but they're pumping a lot of water when they do it. And they don't let them use those for playing. As a matter of fact, there are times when we go into an area where they've just had the water well maybe for 6 months or maybe a year, and they hear we're coming. And on those hot days, the missionaries let the children play in the water, but it's not something they do on a regular basis because it's their life. But they get excited, and they hear the people are coming that gave them the well. And of course, that's you. We're going in your behalf. The missionaries go in harmony with the heart of God, and they find the need, and then in harmony with the heart of God together, and it takes all of us together, we meet the need. See, you may be able to drill a well, but it's not likely, if you can, call us. 415 wells, wow. Can you do that? Please, let us know. You say, well, what would you do if I did? We'd find 400 more places to drill. And then would ask everybody else to join. But right now, in light of your support, we've targeted 400 areas, 415 to be exact. Could you drill one of those wells, $4,800? Could you drill part of a well, 1,200 or 2,400, and pray the others join you? I don't know what level you can participate, but I'm asking you to help. Because those mothers and desperate people are looking for clean water. And many times you have a problem that we don't know how to deal with. We can only pray. God, give us an answer. Well, we've got the answer. We just need to provide the resources to go drill and give them the water. So would you dial that number, please? Would you take your bank card, just make the best gift you can, or if you write a check, call us and tell us what you're sending in. I don't know a better place to put a gift than one that just gives from now on, just keeps giving. Would you make that gift? Father, I pray everyone watching will simply do their part in your heart. Whatever it is, in Jesus' name. Keep in mind, $48. Because a lot of times people say, well, James, you asked for the big gifts. I can't, but hey, when you're saving lives and you save three people's lives or 10 people's lives, that's big. And $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. So could you make a $48 gift? Please do. Don't think that's not very much. It's those gifts added together. Those gifts that make the difference. We'd never be able to do it. Thank God for everybody who can drill a well. But the $48 and the $144 that gives 30 people water for life, all of those are equal in importance. Everybody's part is critically important. We're sending our book that we wrote on marriage, living in love, for any gift, along with Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word. We got the beautiful leather journal, like our daughter Robin gave me when I was fighting disease myself, staph infection. It's just a treasure, and we literally thought you'd be blessed to have one, just a journal, just to write the impressions God puts on your heart, perhaps when you're praying His Word. Please make that call, or you can go online, lifetoday.org. But we're asking you to do your best, and we thank you for it.
Water. Without it, life as you know it cannot exist. But for millions of children and families, their only available water is filled with disease, and once ingested, can lead to death. But one new water well can turn the most barren desert into an oasis of life. With your donation today, Mission Water for Life can drill 415 water wells this year in 15 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, uncontaminated water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any size, we'll send you Living in Love, James and Betty's new book that shares keys to an exciting and fulfilling marriage. You'll also receive Beth Moore's best-selling book, Praying God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to record and reflect on your own personal times with God. And finally, with your gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture representing God's fatherly love for us as His children. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, just to let you know, we're anxious to send Praying God's Word, and really anxious for you to also have our book, Living in Love, because it's a great way to live. God wants that for all of us, no matter where you've been. We'd like you to have the book. Thank you so much for helping us provide water, and we'll bless you with these gifts to inspire and strengthen you in your own life. Encourage your friends to join us for life today.
Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect. Tomorrow, relationship experts Jimmy and Karen Evans.
Good marriages are not marriages where you don't fight. Good marriages are marriages where you can resolve your conflicts.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.